dialing 8th and Walton conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton conference call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
Warning, warning. Is not a drill. Amazon has purchased Whole Foods. Prepare for Armageddon.
Now be honest, isn't that the way a lot of people you've been talking to feel about Amazon buying Whole Foods? I've been reading every opinion piece, every spin on this, and yes, you would think the entire world is over. But you know what? We're going to focus on Amazon and Whole Foods on today's podcast. This is Jared Davis. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got a couple of great guests that are actually going to weigh in on this topic. First time on our podcast, Ms. Leela Davidson, who is Vice President of Account Leadership and Client Partnership from Saatchi & Saatchi X, is going to join us here on the show. She's got some great perspective on how this will affect the supplier community, what this means for Walmart. Great insight. We're very excited to have Leela on the show coming up here in just a few minutes. And then we get the privilege to sit down with our president and CEO of 8th & Walton, Mr. Jeff Clapper. Jeff has got great insight on the financial implications of this, what this is going to mean for Amazon, what this will mean for our supplier community. Always enjoy having Mr. Clapper here on the podcast. Now, before we get to our fantastic guests to weigh in on their perspective, like I said, I've been out there reading every article, every spin, every opinion piece, trying to get every vantage point of what this truly means to retail and online and the future of grocery shopping. Here are some of the more interesting things that have come out just over the last couple of days. The analysts are saying that a big presence for Amazon in groceries like this is going to transform this company from a place that you may go online and shop once in a while to a place that you think about several times a week. Now, this is not a brand new idea. Have you guys ever heard of a little company called Walmart? If you're not old enough to remember, Walmart started out as a general merchandise store and got into the grocery business in the 1980s. What this did was accelerated this shift from just a regional chain into the world's largest physical retailer. Walmart has had this nice evolution that now Amazon could be at the beginning of. And that is to say, Walmart started out as a general merchandise store that got into groceries and then became a general merchandise store that just happened to have groceries. Now, Walmart is more thought of as a grocery store that just happens to have some great general merchandise stuff. We may be at the very beginning of this for Amazon.com. Here's another big factor to think about. Whole Foods stores across the nation. And by the way, can somebody get me a number on this? I've read every article that's come out, and the number of physical Whole Foods stores is anywhere from 400 to 468, depending on what you're reading. But anyway, all these stores across the nation gives Amazon access to refrigerated warehouses that are within 10 miles of 80% of the U.S. population. Something else to think about is the big trade-off between Amazon and Whole Foods during this acquisition. Amazon gets all these stores across the United States, which is a network that could let Amazon sell its private label brands and devices in brick-and-mortar stores, expand its distribution network, and really bolster the Prime Now and Fresh Delivery business. At the same time, what's Whole Foods get out of this? Whole Foods now has access to Amazon's data and technology, and the combined buying power of Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods could win better prices from their grocery suppliers. Then you have some analysts that are speculating on the supply chain itself. You know, vendors at Amazon.com, more and more, they've been filling orders from their own facilities or, you know, third-party logistics providers. So Amazon really doesn't have to hold all that inventory in its own fulfillment centers. So if it goes by that strategy, Whole Foods may see many of the products it stocks one day shipped to customers in a lot of the same way, skipping the store stock room entirely and heading directly to the customer. Then you've got the big speculators that are looking at the whole brick and mortar layout of Whole Foods. Now that Amazon is going to take over, should the stores be laid out more like warehouses to make it more efficient for online delivery? Or will Amazon try to eliminate grocery checkout lines altogether? You know, they're experimenting with that with their grab and walkout convenience store up there in Seattle. Anything could happen. A lot of people are spinning, but I would rather talk with the experts, which is why I'm so glad that Leela Davidson of Saatchi & Saatchi X is going to join us next. You're listening to the 8th & Walton Conference Call.
Are you a new supplier thinking of doing business with Walmart? Or have you just acquired the Walmart account and have questions about processes? 8th & Walton has a class tailored for suppliers new to doing business with Walmart. The Walmart Fundamentals class is the onboarding experience you need before going into that first meeting. Through Walmart Fundamentals, you'll learn the basics about Walmart, such as the supplier agreement, merchant roles, department numbers, Walmart terminology, and much more. We'll also cover the everyday expectations from retail math to using Excel efficiently. To find out about classes in Northwest Arkansas or the next national webinar, visit 8thandwalton.com and search for Retail Fundamentals in the course descriptions.
As I mentioned before, Ms. Leela Davidson is here from Saatchi & Saatchi X. Great to have you on the podcast, Leela.
Thanks, Jared.
Okay, here's the big question. So last week you saw Amazon bought Whole Foods. When you read the headline, what was your gut reaction?
My gut reaction was it's going to be a big distraction all day for the people that we have running around the office, both our people and the clients. But it's really exciting. I think everyone wants to see how this shakes out and see how it affects all of us and try not to get too distracted.
So now you mentioned the big distraction. Speaking of distractions, disruptions, and just people kind of panicking, if you're working at Walmart, what are you thinking right now?
Well, you know, I think at Walmart we can be a little bit optimistic, right? Because Amazon has done a great job of solving for efficiency. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they rise to the challenge of solving in the physical retail experience, right? And at Saatchi, that is what we're focused on all the time, is helping to navigate this experience and efficiency challenge. And frankly, the shopping revolution that Amazon has helped to usher in, that has created these expectations in physical retail that Walmart is just better positioned to solve for right now. Even if you look at fresh, right? So you would think Whole Foods has the clear advantage. But Walmart has made a lot of strides in fresh, and even the way we're looking at produce, the way we're partnering with local farmers, and they've been able to do that at a really affordable price.
All right, so that's good news for Walmart. So let's talk about good news for the shopper. What does this acquisition mean for us online shoppers?
I think for shoppers overall, it can be really good news. If Amazon is able to bring down the price of, say, organics, and we can see that already for products that Amazon carries, that Whole Foods also carries in store. If they're able to do that across the board, that's going to be a huge value add to Whole Foods shoppers, right? And potentially bring in new users to the category because you can trade up to a premium product at a more affordable price. What I think is going to be most interesting is to see how the Whole Foods loyalists react, because we've already seen all these crazy headlines about the robots and the drones are coming. And, you know, there's a certain mindset among Whole Foods shoppers that might not be so friendly to things like automation or artificial intelligence.
And I know at Saatchi, you watch the whole online retail revolution that is now kind of spun into an evolution for everybody else, you know, trying to keep up with Amazon, everything that's happening. How does this, in your view, change the whole retail landscape?
So I think now what we're going to have is these two big true omni players, right? And so likely we will see an acceleration in the way data is used across channels. So Amazon is really a platform as much as it's a retailer. So in theory, they should be able to integrate the Whole Foods systems really quickly and start to take advantage of that data. Now, that's going to be really important in solving for this final frontier, the last mile, right? As shoppers have become more demanding, there's this race to solve for these multiple delivery models that are going to deliver on their expectations. And, I mean, in this omni world we're living in now, I think it's about the total ecosystem. So how many ways can you touch the shopper and make their lives easier and better? And that's how you're going to win.
Leela, we appreciate your time. Thank you. Please come back and visit with us again.
Will do. Thanks, Jared.
Hey, suppliers. Do you have questions about Retail Link? Would you like to know more about analytics and replenishment? Good news. You can get your retail questions answered fast with 8th and Walton Chat. Just log on to 8thandwalton.com and wait for the chat box to pop up. Our merchant advisors are standing by to help you right now. It's absolutely free. Chat with us today without the wait. 8thandwalton.com/chat.
We're back on the 8th and Walton conference call. Emma, I'm going to tell on you. That was mean. Emma and I are talking off mic, and she, like me, has been reading all these articles and opinion pieces about Amazon buying Whole Foods. Now, I got to admit to you that the whole financial side of this, I'm very naive about. I really don't understand a lot of the numbers and the mergers and acquisitions and why some things are important. One of the things that we've both been reading in all these articles, and it really jumps out in the headlines, is the fact that Amazon bought Whole Foods $13.7 billion in cash. This was a cash transaction. They bought Whole Foods with cash. I have no idea why that's relevant or what that means, just because that's my weak spot. So I'm asking Emma, I said, why is it so important they're calling this out that Amazon paid cash for Whole Foods? And she looks at me and says, well, you got to think, if Amazon had bought Sears, they wouldn't need cash. All they need is a couple of those Amazon gift cards and they would have covered it. You are so mean, but funny. Okay, moving on. When this announcement came out, this was last Friday, we actually had the pleasure right away to speak with our president and CEO here at 8th and Walton, Mr. Jeff Clapper. We actually did a mini episode on that. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, it was fantastic to get Jeff's perspective on some of the financial implications, some of the things that this will mean for the supplier community and how Walmart comes into play. As a matter of fact, we're going to air that interview right now. So Emma, if you would fire up clip number three, please.
Jeff, so Amazon, up to this point, they've had their big toe in the pool of brick and mortar. Now they've just jumped into the deep end. What do you think about that?
You're absolutely right. And I think it really confirms that they see the need to compete in the physical realm, where they saw Walmart, since its beginning, being in so many stores, so many locations. They had trucks, they had distribution centers, they had associates, and even as recently as the last couple of weeks, where they announced that they'd be having these associates take packages the last mile to customers in their neighborhood on the way home. Just goes to show the competitive advantage Walmart had in the physical realm, and here Amazon is saying, we know we need to be in that physical realm in a big way.
Now, when you look at just this marriage of Amazon and Whole Foods, especially the whole customer presence, there seems to be a little bit of a gap. What are your thoughts on that?
There's a gap there where Whole Foods, you know, people fondly joke about calling it Whole Paycheck. In contrast, you have Walmart from the beginning being all about everyday low price, everyday low cost, serving customers, helping people who are only, you know, only able to spend a few dollars a week on their groceries versus here's a $20 meal that you can purchase at Whole Foods. The contrast there in price is striking and what that tells you about the customer profile. And then additionally, the contrast between where Walmart has always excelled in more rural, so slightly less dense markets, in contrast to Whole Foods generally being in metropolitan areas where people may have more disposable income, again, just highlights the difference in those customer profiles.
And kind of taking that a step further, when you think about the cultures of these companies, and now we look at Amazon coming in, taking Whole Foods, from a culture standpoint, what does that say about the whole end game?
I think that's going to be really interesting to watch. A lot of acquisitions live or die by the ability for two companies' cultures to really mesh and work together. And John Mackey, the CEO and founder of Whole Foods, wrote a great book a couple of years ago called Conscious Capitalism. And it was all about the idea that stakeholders have to all benefit from the company's mission and what the company is doing. So, of course, you have employees, customers, suppliers, all members, everyone who touches Whole Foods business. Their mission was to be always innovating towards the end goal, that everyone who touches the business will be better off. In contrast, I think Amazon's mission has been gain market share at any cost. And I think there are instances like the New York Times article last summer that really talked about we are almost proud in a way of how we just drive as much out of our associates or out of our employees as possible. Those are two very different cultures. It will be interesting to see if or how they close that gap.
I love how different people are looking at this, you know, from different vantage points. When I heard about it, I'm thinking about the marketing implications and what's going to happen online. I love talking with you about it because before we started up, you started talking about some of the tax implications and things that this will mean across the country. Tell us more about that.
Well, sure. I mean, you have the idea of nexus, which is if you have a physical presence in a state, you're going to pay taxes. You're going to pay sales tax in those states. And Amazon has been one of the most noted companies to kind of have workarounds because they only had physical presences in certain areas. Well, of course, any any area now where Whole Foods has a presence may change that game for them, and that may have consequence or significance to their suppliers and everyone who does business with Amazon as well, of course, Whole Foods. So that will have significance too.
I'm interested to get your thoughts on this, because Amazon has been out acquiring little brick and mortar here and there, and Whole Foods, since they've got their new investors, they've been looking at a merger and pushing Whole Foods towards a merger. What makes you scratch your head the most about Amazon and Whole Foods teaming up?
I think it's no secret, of course, Amazon has operated at a loss, Whole Foods operating at a loss. You have these two companies operating at a loss, but also, again, on a mission to grow market share. So, you know, it's a bit of a puzzlement to think what happens when you take a loss on a loss. Where does that go? I think ultimately, will shareholders demand something more turning a profit?
Some financial guy somewhere is thinking two negatives come out to a positive. You know, it's got to add up somewhere, Jeff. So Jeff, before we close out, any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think you basically have these power players making power plays, and it will be very interesting to see how it continues to play through. Walmart's just going to continue to be competitive, and I know that there are people across the street here just driving to continue to get ahead further and further.
Well, we'll continue to monitor it. Jeff, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Jared.
And with that, we're wrapping up another edition of the 8th and Walton Conference Call. Thank you so much for joining us again. Hey, this is Jared Davis reminding you, the world of retail is a brutal business. Thank goodness we have food days.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at 8thandwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliate. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands, are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.